us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.
We are Jitensha,
and you're listening to the New Spins Library
on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! Our journalism is powered by you, not by any corporation or government. That means we count on your support to produce our daily news hour. Please make your donation of $5 or $10 or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Thank you so much. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Working closely with Congress, the U.S. will commit $55 billion to Africa over the course of the next 3 years, across a wide range of sectors, to tackle the core challenges of our time. These commitments build on the United States' long-standing leadership and partnership in development, economic growth, health, and security in Africa over the past 3 decades.
The Biden administration's hosting leaders from 49 African nations for a 3-day summit in Washington, organized in part to counter the growing influence of China and Russia in Africa. We'll get the latest. Then to Arizona, where the outgoing Republican Governor Doug Ducey is using shipping containers and razor wire to build a makeshift border wall.
Follow the law, Governor Ducey. And what you're doing is you're making a catastrophic mistake that I dare say will come to not bode very well for your legacy.
And we'll look at the significance of Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema's decision to leave the Democratic Party, registering as an independent. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Leaders of the G7, including President Joe Biden, have agreed to set up a multi-agency platform to coordinate aid to Ukraine. Monday's agreement followed a virtual summit between G7 leaders and the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who appealed for new shipments of tanks, artillery, long-range rockets and other weapons. Zelensky also called on allies to ship natural gas to Ukraine amidst rolling blackouts caused by a wave of Russian attacks on Ukraine's electricity infrastructure.
The terrorism against our power stations resulted in the necessity of using more gas than we had planned. That's why we need more support, especially this winter. We are talking about an additional 2 billion cubic meters of natural gas. This is the extra amount we need to buy.
Overnight, Ukraine's military damaged a key bridge near the Russian-occupied city of Melitopol in southern Ukraine in the latest setback for Russian forces. In Moscow, Russian President Vladimir Putin has canceled his annual end-of-year press conference for the first time in a decade amidst rising domestic criticism over his handling of the war in Ukraine. Meanwhile, Viktor Bout, the former Soviet military officer who became known as the Merchant of Death for trafficking arms to dictators, also worked with the United States, has joined the pro-Kremlin ultra-nationalist LDPR party. Bout was released from a U.S. prison last week in exchange for WNBA basketball star Brittany Griner. Griner has not spoken publicly since her return, but her agent said she's doing well and was able to play basketball Sunday for the first time in nearly 10 months. Her first act on the court was reportedly a slam dunk. The disgraced founder of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX was arrested in the Bahamas Monday after U.S. prosecutors filed criminal charges against him, including wire fraud, securities fraud and money laundering. The arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried came a month after FTX collapsed virtually overnight, revealing an $8 billion hole in the company's balance sheet. This morning, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filed a civil complaint accusing Bankman-Fried of orchestrating a scheme to defraud defraud equity investors in FTX. The company's rapid collapse has been compared to the Ponzi scheme overseen by disgraced financier Bernie Madoff. Bankman-Fried's arrest came just one day before he was scheduled to testify to the House Financial Services Committee and after he refused to accept another subpoena ordering him to testify to the Senate Banking Committee. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reports bankruptcy lawyers may attempt to claw back at least $73 million of political donations tied to FTX. Federal Election Commission data show Bankman-Fried was the second-largest campaign contributor in the 2022 midterm elections, with nearly $40 million given to Democratic campaigns and super PACs. Human rights groups are warning Iran's government may be preparing to execute more protesters after authorities publicly executed 23-year-old Mejidreza Renavard early Monday morning. Renavard was hanged from a metal crane with his hands and feet bound and a black bag over his head. He was convicted of killing two members of paramilitary forces in a secretive trial where he wasn't allowed to choose his own lawyer or challenge the evidence against him. When his mother visited him, she was reportedly not notified he'd be executed soon after. This comes as the European Union has imposed new sanctions on Iranian senior officials, religious leaders and top state media employees over human rights abuses as the brutal crackdown on anti-government protesters intensifies and for supplying drones to Russia to use in Ukraine. In Afghanistan, at least three people were killed and 18 others injured Monday as gunmen attacked a hotel in the capital, Kabul. The multi-story Kabul Longan Hotel is popular among Chinese nationals, although all the dead and most of the wounded were Afghan civilians. The Islamic State affiliate known as ISIS-K took responsibility for the assault. Meanwhile, human rights groups are condemning the Taliban for bringing back public executions and floggings. Last week, a man convicted of murder was fatally shot in front of a crowd at a soccer stadium in Farah province by the victim's father. In recent days, Taliban courts have also ordered dozens of men and women flogged in sports stadiums. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces shot and killed a 16-year-old girl Monday during a raid in the city of Jenin. Witnesses say Janamajdi Zakharneh was standing on the roof of her home when she was struck by several bullets. This is her cousin, Yasser Zakharneh.
13 shots were fired by the occupation forces at Jannah. Four hit her body, two in the head, and two in the chest. She was killed by the occupation forces. Their bullets are here. And the occupation army was around 500 meters away from her, in the building in front of her. All the bullets shot were fired from the same building.
Israel's military acknowledged its troops killed a teenage girl, claiming soldiers hit her unintentionally after allegedly firing at Palestinian gunmen in the area. According to the United Nations, this year has already seen the highest number of Palestinians killed by Israeli forces in the West Bank since 2006. In Brussels, authorities have raided the homes and offices of European Parliament lawmakers, accusing them of accepting bribes from government officials in Qatar. Belgian police have so far arrested four people and recovered hundreds of thousands of euros in cash. Among those arrested is European Parliament Vice President Eva Kaili. In the lead-up to the World Cup, Kaili repeatedly defended Qatar against critics who pointed to the monarchy's dismal record on workers' rights and its persecution of LGBTQ people. Qatar has denied bribing European officials. Katerina Barley, head of the Socialists and Democrats bloc on Monday, called the scandal a major test of accountability for the European Parliament.
For us, this, of course, is the greatest possible disaster. We, as the European Parliament, and especially we as a party and a parliamentary group, have dedicated ourselves to the fight against corruption. And when something like this happens in our own ranks, it is a serious crisis for us.
In Tunisia, protesters took to the streets of Tunis Saturday to oppose upcoming parliamentary elections, which are taking place under a new constitution enacted under President Kais Saied, who critics say has orchestrated a coup. This is the opposition politician Jawar Ben Mubarak.
Every step Kais Saied has made in implementing the coup roadmap, the more the country's crisis increases and the political suffocation closes in on the country. Today he's presenting elections and an attempt to lay out the foundations for a legislative coup authority.
In Peru, protests have spread as anger mounts over the impeachment and jailing of the leftist president Pedro Castillo. Thousands of people took to the streets of Lima, Arequipa, and across northern Andean towns Monday, demanding newly appointed President Dina Boluarte hold new presidential elections early after she said they'll take place in April 2024. At least seven people have died in clashes with security forces. Hundreds gathered outside Peru's Congress in Lima Monday and set up a barricade despite the threat of police violence.
The police have cornered us from all sides. They have thrown tear gas bombs at us. We are protesting because the Peruvian press is garbage and is not reporting this news.
Back in the United States, a federal jury in Washington, D.C. heard opening arguments Monday as the trial of four members of the far-right Oath Keepers militia group got underway. They're accused of joining a seditious conspiracy to stop the transfer of power from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. The trial follows the conviction last month of Oath Keepers leader Stuart Rhodes on charges he conspired to overthrow the U.S. government January 6, 2021. This comes as the Project and Government Oversight reports over 300 people listed on the Oath Keepers membership roles have worked for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, taking up jobs with the Coast Guard, Border Patrol, ICE, and the Secret Service. In Nevada, over a dozen people at the Ely State Prison remain on hunger strike, protesting unsafe, inhumane conditions. The peaceful action began December 1st, with at least 40 prisoners joining the hunger strike, according to the ACLU. Among other demands, they're calling for an end to the extended use of solitary confinement, abuse from guards, due process violations, and for the prison to provide adequate health care and address safety concerns. In Cuba, three Democratic U.S. Congress members traveled to Havana over the weekend to meet with the Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel and other Cuban officials in a rare visit to the island by U.S. lawmakers. After the meeting with Congress members Jim McGovern, Mark Pocan and Troy Carter, the Cuban president repeated his call for an end to the catastrophic U.S. economic sanctions on Cuba and expressed willingness from the two countries to improve bilateral relations. In Virginia, the city of Richmond removed its last Confederate statue Monday. The monument was to Confederate General A.P. Hill. Richmond began removing its Confederate statues amidst the massive racial justice protests that erupted nationwide after the police killing of George Floyd in May of 2020. Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy for most of the Civil War. And New York City is naming a gate in Central Park in honor of the five Black and Latinx men who, as teenagers, were wrongfully convicted of the 1989 beating and rape of a white woman. The words "Gate of the Exonerated" will be carved on the entrance at the northern end of Central Park in the neighborhood of Harlem. The Central Park Five were exonerated in 2002 after the real perpetrator confessed and DNA evidence linked him to the assault. By then, the group had already served prison terms of up to 13 years. They were between 14 and 16 years old at the time of their arrest. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Hey, Montreal. It's a great day out there. Welcome to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a good show for you today, with one pre-recorded interview and two podcasts. The interview is with Lily from ETE, or Ete, a Canadian traditional music group whose original songs will bring you back home to the pioneers of Canada. The first podcast will be Edition 16 of Viewpoints, where we'll hear about solar energy in Nova Scotia and much more. 8 o'clock will bring Democracy Now!, 8:15 will bring weather, and after some music, we'll visit the second podcast, which is called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, why is sugar addictive? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
CKUT and Island Organics presents a Christmas fundraiser for Resilience Montreal. Featuring DJs Cristobal Urbina, DJ Killjoy, Talentino, and the premiere of Mandala Hi-Fi. With Boss Man, legendary dub poet Zibs, Cali, with special guest Spoon B, and DJ Picante. Mandala Hi-Fi. $20 at the door. 25 after 11. Sunday, December 18th, Timmy's Bar, 900 Ontario Street East. This is an official CKUT co-presentation.
Oh, us through love. Love is a way of living. Life can connect us through love. I know a woman that I met in university. She taught me how to be patient and say, well, I liked her and she liked me. She was cool. Love is a way of living. Life can connect us through love. Love is a way of living. Life can connect us through love. I know a man that I met in university who likes him.
Luna, and you are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Chocolate can make you happy, and sweets can make you feel good. But when does a sweet tooth turn into a sugar problem? This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we ask, why is sugar addictive?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast made to be listened to in the shower. But you can listen to it anywhere you want.
Have you ever wondered what happens when you hold in a fart?
Or if time travel is actually possible?
Or why we have a dominant hand.
Or why dogs sniff each other's bums.
If you've wondered any of those questions, then good news, you've come to the right place. We've answered them and we're about to answer one more.
So step into the shower cubicle with us as we take a look at why sugar is addictive.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This week's question comes from one of our most active listeners, always sending in questions, always sending in. So big shout out to Daniel Taylor, who's asked us, why is sugar addictive?
So that's a good question.
It's a brilliant, and it's true. I'm going to begin this episode with a bit of a doozy of a fact. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Right, so according to several studies, sugar can be as addictive, if not more addictive, than cocaine.
What?
Yeah, how bonkers is that? like having a can of Coke is on par with having actual Coke.
That is crazy. Like, I knew sugar was addictive, but that is just...
Yeah, it's hardcore addictive. Like, yeah. It's a bit wild, isn't it?
It's wild.
Like, a lot of stats get thrown out in terms of how sugar can, in fact, be more addictive than hard drugs such as cocaine and heroin. But before we get into that, let's actually look at what addiction is and why we can get hooked on the sweet stuff easily.
Right, hit me.
So, addiction can be defined as a brain disorder characterized by compulsive engagement in rewarding stimuli despite adverse consequences. So, basically, you are uncontrollably doing something which you know is bad, even because it get a high or you get a...
Stimulated, essentially, yeah.
Basically. So common things people get addicted to are things like gambling, sex, drugs, alcohol, sugar, and all of this comes down to those actions and substances causing a reward system in your brain, which we then become to crave and become addictive.
So why sugar? Like, what sets it apart from other foodstuffs? Like, why aren't we addicted to salt? Or why aren't we addicted to a sour feeling? Or why aren't we addicted to spice?
First off, sugar is a simple carbohydrate. It's easy to break down and it's high in calories. It's God-level instant fuel for our brains and bodies, right? So as humans, we're evolutionarily pre-programmed to seek out sweet things. Also, several studies claim that we seek out sweet things because it could be an indication of vitamin content, which obviously is important.
Yeah.
Sugar makes you feel good, so we crave it.
But like, so why does it make us feel good? Where is that link coming from?
So instantly when you take in sugar, you get a massive spike of dopamine, which we've talked about in the podcast before. Dopamine is commonly known as the pleasure hormone. And it's like most addictive substances revolve around its release. So
I didn't know that.
Dopamine is released by heroin, cocaine, LSD, sugar.
Probably but even it's also, like gambling and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's also... released by sexual interaction, social interaction, orgasm. Like, all of these are dopamine releases.
Okay.
When you eat sugar, your dopamine spikes, you feel great, but then as the sugar, because sugar is a simple carbohydrate, if it's glucose or fructose or anything like that, it gets burnt away very quickly, and all of a sudden you crash, leaving you wanting more sugar.
Okay.
And beginning an addiction cycle.
So that's super simple. So, like, yeah, we can definitely establish that sugar is highly addictive. It's a good feeling, so you continuously want to have that feeling, essentially.
Exactly.
But why is it bad to eat loads of sugar? Like, if it's a good fuel, what's wrong with taking it in? Like, there's something beyond, like, cavities, surely.
Yeah, so sugar is a bit of a dangerous one. And to kind of go back to the addiction point, it's more that your tolerance goes up and up and up and up. So to get that same level of pleasure, you need to be taking in more, right?
Oh, I would never have even linked that to
yeah, so that's... like the first time you have sugar, you get this big dopamine release. The next time, to get the same amount of dopamine, you need to have a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. That's the thing with addictions and how they can spiral out of control.
Wow.
Is that you build up a tolerance. So all of a sudden, you know, a tenner in a slot machine might turn into throwing your house on a roulette table.
Right, that kind of, right.
You need that.
A gummy bear might turn into...
just diving headfirst into a big bag of Sucra. So overconsumption of sugar has been shown to have a heap of negative effects on the body. While it is a good short-term fuel, it is good in small quantities as opposed to overconsumption. By the way, like, it should be noted that sugar doesn't really... like, refined sugar doesn't exactly occur that naturally in nature. Like, it really only naturally occurs as honey, but to get honey you have to, like, fight a load of bees, which is obviously difficult. If you listen to our episode about why pineapples are the fruit of hospitality, a lot of that is because pineapples are among the sweetest fruits ever. So they were cherished because before refined sugar was a thing, people would crave that sugar.
Yeah.
But then... because when sugar became far more common in kind of
available.
No, and it's recent. Like, sugar became common to, like, the working class in, like, the 1800s.
That's crazy.
It's recent, right? And that's when overconsumption started. So one of the big issues is fructose, which is a very common sugar, doesn't stimulate a feeling of fullness. So overconsumption of of calorie-dense sugary foods is common because you don't feel full.
Okay.
So that leads to weight gain, which is a negative effect. Sugar has been extensively linked to heart disease as well. Diabetes is huge. Mm. There's a diabetes epidemic in the States now. Leads to acne, obesity, depression, and a whole host of other nasties, including cancer. But like generally, you look at any of the things that it kind of stimulates in terms of negative health, and they're kind of going to lead to other problems.
Right, of course.
Basically, natural sugars are good, but the fact that refined sugar is so abundantly common now and added to everything from pasta sauce to yogurt to fizzy drinks to everything, it makes it hard to avoid.
So what can we do to control our sugar intake if we want to?
Well, like anything, knowledge is power. So keep an eye on nutritional information of foods and go by the rule of thumb that any ingredient you see which ends in O's, so like fructose or glucose, they're all sugars, right?
Yeah.
Drink less sugary drinks. About 40% of refined sugars consumed by people come from juices, energy drinks and fizzy drinks. So
really?
Yeah, absolutely. So just think like that's...
Because, you know, like juice that's made from concentrate, even apple orange juice, that's sugar.
Well, do you know what? Like apple juice has about 4% more sugar than Coke.
What?
Yeah. So, I mean, I remember as a kid, I wasn't allowed fizzy drinks, but I was given fruit juice. And actually, like, it has way more sugar in it.
That's crazy.
It's absolutely mad. So, yeah, cut down on fizzy drinks, which are, like, 40% is enormous, you know? On top of that, you can swap out refined sugars or natural sweeteners like stevia or raw honey or fruits. Finally, if you're craving a bit of sweetness in your life, make an effort to eat sugary things which have some natural fiber content, like fibrous fruit, nuts and stuff like that.
It's basically like where sugar kind of occurs naturally, isn't it?
Yeah, but with fiber to balance it out. Right. Basically, when sugar is bonded to fiber, it slows down the breakdown of food in the stomach and limits the amount of sugar which your body absorbs. So,
that's super interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of essential. That's really, really interesting. I would have never... It's mad how your brain works the way, you know, gambling is addiction. Heroin is addiction, but you would never think about sugar like that.
Well, it's also like, do you know what? It is thrown away like, oh, sugar is X amount more times addictive than drugs and everything like that. It's also that like sugar is really socially accepted.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when you see a heroin addict, like that's taboo. Like that's societally frowned on. Whereas, you know.
Brownies. Great.
Unbelievable.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Class.
Like, I think if you told somebody you were a brownie addict, they'd be like, yes, so is everyone.
Yeah.
There's a difference between brownie and brown.
That's sad. Yeah. So sugar is addictive because it releases a hit of dopamine in your brain, much like cocaine or heroin. But that spike in dopamine is quickly followed by a crash, making your body, of course, want more. Over time, you build up a resistance, meaning you need more and more to get the same level of pleasure as before. But increasing consumption puts you at risk of a whole array of nasty bits. So you should just really make an effort to try to monitor your sugar intake.
Yeah, basically, you nailed it.
Okay, one question. How do scientists know that sugar is more addictive than cocaine? Like you said it at the start of the episode, but didn't explain it.
Okay, so this one is a bit mental. And I've said this on in the show before, that one of my favourite things about this podcast is finding out the weird things that scientists have done
in the
name of science. So this study was conducted by scientists in the University of Bordeaux to test addictive properties from everything from sugar to cocaine and everything like that.
Okay.
This specific study was focusing on just the two. So rats were given an option of pressing two levers, right? One would release a cocaine solution, so cocaine diluted in water, and the other would release a sugar solution, right?
Right.
Even as scientists raised the saturation of cocaine in the solution over the course of the trial, the rats picked the sugar a whopping 94% of the time.
What?
Yeah.
No, like that's not a hair kind of difference. 94% of the time. That
absolutely
is crazy,
isn't it? Yeah, so that is a good indicator that... And also, it's funny, they got aggressive when they consumed sugar in different ways. If they were readily allowed to consume sugar whenever they wanted, pretty much like humans are, they were grand. But if they were only given a 20-minute window every 2 hours to consume sugar, they got aggressive and agitated.
Wow.
Similar to somebody coming out or, you know, going cold turkey or anything like that. Really interesting.
That's mad. Yeah, so, Camir, do you have any sweet facts for us to end the episode?
I do. Yeah, so actually here is another one. I mentioned earlier about refined sugar not being available until the kind of the 1850s, right? Initially, sugar was so rare and expensive that only royalty could afford it, right? And in very small quantities. So in the 13th century, British monarch Henry III once tried to order 3 pounds of sugar, right?
Okay.
But expressed doubts that that much sugar could even be found in England.
What?
Yeah, and at the time, they were just boiling down beets. Like,
I have more than 3 pounds of sugar in my press at home.
There you go. So, I mean, like, in the 13th century, you wouldn't need a sugar daddy. You're your own sugar daddy. There you go.
One more?
Yeah, so this one is actually... You're a dog person, staunchly, right? Dogs have a sweet tooth, but cats don't.
Really?
Yeah, scientists are still studying why some animals have a preference for sweet foods and others don't. They found, for example, that dogs enjoy sweet foods while cats and other felines don't actually have sweetness receptors in their brains, which probably is why they're so aggressive, that they just can't experience any sweetness in their lives.
Cats are terrible.
Yeah, but
dogs are great.
They've hypothesized that the sweetness receptors are unnecessary for carnivorous animals as well as animals that tend not to chew their food, such as dolphins and sea lions.
Well, there you go.
There you have it.
In the show with Tez and Marcus. 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 In the show with Tez and Marcus.
Well, that was super fascinating.
There you go. Sweet.
I still really want something sweet now, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know, talking about this, I'm like, I could definitely demolish a tub of Ben & Jerry's right now.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you liked what you've heard, then good news, we've got a whole host of other episodes that are ready for your ears. Anything and everything you can imagine, we have answered. Have a look and have a listen.
If among the everything and anything that we've answered, you find a question that we haven't answered, well then send us through. There's no question too weird, too abstract. All questions are considered in the shower. So if you want to ask us a question, shoot us a message on Facebook. Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, or get us on Instagram at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to send your question in via email, then you can get us at InTheShowerPodcast@gmail.com.
One more thing, if you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to recommend it to your friends or your WhatsApp groups or your family. Tell your granny to listen. It would be great if you could help us spread what we're doing.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Tell me, Taz.
Next week's question comes from my very best friend, Niamh Green.
Old Niamh Green, what a legend.
And she asks, why do old people shrink?
Oh, that's a great question.
It's going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
When it comes to respiratory viruses, there are some people who fall a little sick, some who fall quite sick, and some who fall very sick.
When sickness hits, some people fall further than others. Wearing a mask is a simple gesture that acts as a safety net for all of us. To better protect yourself and those around you from the viruses going around, it's a good idea to wear a mask in crowded public places. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Smile at me, and when you are near, I feel so damn happy, 'cause I would love to, yeah, I would love to. Thank you. when I get up in the morning, yeah. Ooh, yeah, my soul's alive. But still it tells me this warning. Follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart, ooh. Follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart, ooh.
Thank you.